God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our Old Testament reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, where Moses is giving the people the law of God. And notice the people's response as it was read in our Old Testament reading, "We will obey." And in the midst of that, Moses is taking the blood from the sacrifice and sprinkling it on the people. I don't know about you, but if I tried to do that in today's culture, in today's time, by taking some blood and starting to sprinkle it upon you, I don't know how many of you would show up for tomorrow's worship service. Many of you might say, "That's enough. No more. I'm not going to Trinity anymore." Who in their right mind would purposely sprinkle blood on someone else? But that's what took place in the book of Exodus. It may sound kind of strange, but what would that blood do? Well, typically it would get on our clothes, all of our clothes. We'd have little red dots. And depending on what type of clothes we wore to church today, whether it be clothes that were dry clean only or those that were washable might make a difference, or how expensive the clothes may be, may also make a difference with our reaction to what would happen if the blood was being sprinkled upon us. But we have to ask the question, why? Why did Moses sprinkle blood? Well, first of all, our epistle reading gives us a little bit of that answer. From the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, where it talks about how blood had to be sacrificed. There had to be a sacrifice in order for a covenant, a special promise to be made with God. And there's nothing more important than being connected to that promise of God. Now, just going back to the time of Exodus, you got to remember, now they have blood on them. How long would that blood last if they didn't have a laundromat or if they didn't have a dry cleaners nearby? That blood would last on their clothes for a long time. And just think, every day when they would see that blood, they would be reminded of that covenant, that special relationship between them and God. Again, we might be scratching our heads going, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it depends on that relationship. Let me put it this way. For those of you who are married, what would happen if every day, as you were getting dressed, your spouse said, "I love you"? Every day we were reminded of someone's special love and their grace and that special relationship we have with someone each and every day. I still wear my wedding band to remind me of those vows, to remind me of that love. And I wear it every day. Does it bother me? Does it distract me? Again, the answer is no. So why would we get bent out of shape with blood being sprinkled upon us? Don't worry. I don't have blood in the back. Okay, we're not going there. But just that whole concept as a symbol of the relationship between us and God, is there a problem with that blood? The answer is no. We can see the people of Israel's response now. We will obey. It's a sign of God's love, this new connection between God's people and himself. Now, very often when we start thinking about Moses and the covenant between the people of Israel and God, one of the first things we start thinking of is the Ten Commandments. And we start thinking about the law. And we start thinking about all those terrible things. Why would we want to obey them? But when couples come before the altar of the Lord, exchange vows to one another, saying, "I'm now pledging you my life," they don't necessarily do it by saying, "What did I get myself into?" They usually look at this as a joyful time. So it is with the people of Israel. This was a joyous time. Even though you had the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law, but that law showed the mercy of God. The law showed the connectivity of God to the people. Yes, they were going to obey, just like spouses nowadays obey each other, love one another, and serve one another. Unfortunately, like the people of Israel, even in today's times, we see families falling apart. They forget about the joy that once brought them together. What once caused them joy now caused them heartache. Hence, the divorce rates continue to exist. So it was with the people of Israel. In time, that loving relationship they had with God became a burden upon them. They wanted to do things their way. The bloodstains sort of wore off their garments. We will obey instead of becoming a loving event now became a burden for them. Oh, do we have to obey? Isn't there some loophole that we can sort of get out of these rules and regulations, they kind of thought to themselves? And in like today's agenda, they just said, it doesn't matter. I'll find a God that will suit my way, suit my will. They broke God's covenant. Hence, a new covenant had to be established. That new covenant was established with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we celebrate on this night the Lord's Supper event, where Jesus now sheds blood, breaks his own body, so to speak, with the bread and the wine. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Again, that shedding of blood, but not necessarily to be sprinkled upon them, but now to be consumed. It was interesting, the early Christians were very much strangely looked upon. The reason why is because when they were talking about going and receiving the Lord's Supper, that sacrament, they'd be talking about eating Christ's blood, or eating Christ's body and drinking his blood. In the outside of the Christian world, they thought that these Christians were cannibals. Again, we're not going to be serving flesh and blood in a cannibalistic way. But later on in our service, we will be serving the body and blood of Christ in with and under the bread and the wine. Again, that shedding of the blood, not to be worn, but to be consumed. Now it's taking that relationship one step even more. It's one aspect to sit there and to wear a symbol of a relationship, i.e. a wedding band, or having blood being sprinkled upon the person. But now to consume Christ's body and blood in this relationship, that brings it to a different level. So we celebrate this Maundy Thursday, not filled with rules and regulations, but filled with love and filled with grace. We have a God who now wants to be connected to us, and there is no better way to be connected to us than by eating and drinking. Even in today's society, we see restaurants on the rise. Just think back if you're old enough. Say 10, 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 years ago, how long you can remember. How many restaurants did we have in town? It seems like every time I turn around, there's another restaurant going up. That entertainment value, that going out to eat, that sharing a meal with friends and family now becomes very, very important. It used to take place in the household, now it takes place in established restaurants. Notice what happened in our Old Testament text at the end. Moses, Aaron, Nabat, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. In verse 11, God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. They ate and drank with God. That special connectivity. All because they were now going to obey, to be connected to this special relationship. Again, the same thing is going on with the disciples. We know of this day as the celebration of the Lord's Supper, that special institution. But it's called Maundy Thursday, which means Command Thursday. And in that command, yes, you have the command, do this in remembrance of me, of Christ's body and blood. But there's another command that the Gospel writer of John picks up. So if I could add from John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. Jesus speaks these words knowing that he is going to lay down his life for his friends. Right before this section, you have Jesus washing the disciples' feet, an act of service, by the way, a picture of which is on the cover of our bulletin. Peter's reaction, "Lord, no, don't wash my feet." But Jesus basically says, "Wait a minute, if I don't wash your feet, you're not part of me." Then Peter wanted to have all of him washed. Well, we're not going into that as our text for today, except for that there Jesus gives us an example of service. As the title of this message says, we will obey. The question we should probably ask, do we obey? We said we will follow our Lord and Savior in our confirmation vows. We said we would follow our Lord and Savior when we joined this congregation. We said we were going to follow our Lord and Savior in that special relationship we have with Him. But how quickly are we to obey in that loving, caring relationship? Or how quick are we to do our own thing, like the people of Israel later did? Surely, if we take a look at our lives and take a look at our attitudes, there may come a time where this Lord's Supper, this relationship with God, becomes a burden. We'd rather not serve one another the way that Jesus was now washing the disciples' feet. Have you ever thought for a moment why we don't do that here at Trinity? I thought about it from time to time. But if I actually did bring out a bowl of water, how many of you would actually come forward for me to wash your feet? Or is that just getting too personal? Every time I keep mentioning it, it's always interesting to see people's reaction. It doesn't bother me. But for some of us, it may bother. Again, we have to ask, does it bother you when our Lord and Savior says, in a loving, caring way, come follow me? Come, let's work together. Come, let's do this. We will obey. Will we? That's what the people of Israel said after the blood was sprinkled upon them. We will obey. And in one essence, that's also what we will say as we receive Christ's body and blood. But now we also take this body and blood, reminding us of the forgiveness of sins we have in Christ Jesus, and for strength of that faith, so that we can serve one another, because in and of by ourselves we cannot serve one another, we cannot love, we cannot forgive. We are selfish human beings. But with the body and blood of Christ within us, that strength, that encouragement, that love that comes from God and God alone, now we can serve. Now we can obey. Now the Spirit is within us and saying, yes, let's go ahead and do. What does God want? God wants us to share that love. No greater love than this, that a man be willing to lay down his life. Again, we might say, but Pastor, that's going just a little too far. But notice what Jesus did. We'll celebrate that tomorrow. He did lay down his life for a bunch of sinners. Cannot we also lay down our life to love one another, even for other sinners? If you go back to that Gospel of John for a moment, you'll notice that Jesus washes the disciples' feet. That's before Judas was singled out, before Judas left. Think of it this way. Our Lord and Savior even washed the feet of his betrayer. We say we will obey. Are we willing to serve and to love even those who don't believe? Even those who sin against us? Even those who ridicule us? even those who make fun of our faith? Notice again what Jesus did. And notice again the people of Israel's response, "We will obey." So on this day, as we celebrate Maundy Thursday, we do give thanks to our Lord and Savior for giving us this body and blood in and with and under the bread and the wine. This is indeed a special sacrament in which we are reminded that, yes, we have failed to live up to God's expectations. We have failed to love. We have failed to forgive. We have failed to serve. And we come before Him seeking His love, seeking His forgiveness, seeking His grace. And He gives it to us as He feeds us with His word, and He feeds us again with His word as it's attached to simple bread and wine. But now it becomes Christ's body and blood. So on this Maundy Thursday, we celebrate that, yes, our Lord still eats with us, still loves us, still cares for us. And we ask the Lord to help us to open up our mouths again. And with the people of Israel say, "We will obey." In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.